and welcome into WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday in early January. Happy New Year, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Wait, is it? Are we still doing that?
I think Drake May said we're allowed to do it into February.
I'm all for it. I think the first time you talk to somebody, at least within the first week, and then, of course, the first time you see somebody within a month, that, is, to me, is the statute of limitations. After that, you're asking for trouble.
I'm just going with Drake May is the coolest person on the planet that I interact with on a semi-regular basis.
Uh-oh.
And if he says we can go to February with Happy New Year, then damn it, we can go to February with Happy New Year. He is an MVP candidate. He won 14 games. He's potentially going to the Super Bowl. He's getting ready for the playoffs. Drake May says it. It's okay, baby.
Guy, you're putting all the freaking horses before the duck boat there. I mean, we got to, let's, one at a time, just so you know, we're always excited. Yeah. His next biggest game is his biggest game is always his
next
game.
One.
That's my least favorite of his answers from recent interviews.
We got to watch out, Andy. I got to tell you, honestly, I know by and large, it seems the listening audience appreciates the way in which we handle Drakeio, Drake 10, or 10, as Marcus Jones called him.
Or 10.
I'd like to gently remind everyone, it's not Tim. He didn't call him Tin. It was Tan.
Not Chin. There was some Chin questions. Nope, it's Tin.
Jeez Louise, use your listening ears, people. But I got a lot of feedback from people like, oh my God, what a cringeworthy tongue bath you guys give Drake May every Monday on the radio. My God, it sounds like you guys are in love with it. We're not allowed to tell the guy he's doing a great job and praise up like the Lord and Savior of Patriots Nation and the best thing to happen to New England since Tom took his talents to Tampa? Is that so wrong?
You mean like rather be golfing 95 on the Twitch chat that says, Jesus heart, how much can you blank the kid? And it rhymes with show.
Schmo.
I mean, what exactly is reason to be critical of Drake May right now, other than maybe the fact that, A, the next game you play isn't always the biggest game. This Sunday literally is the biggest game you've played in. It's your first playoff game. It's a primetime game. It's going to... I really liked the way Tom Curran put it. He put it like a college class. The regular season is 50% of your grade. And then the playoffs are the other 50% of your grade, your final exam. It's 50% of your grade. So great that you had a great regular season. You led the team to the 2 seed and a home playoff game and all those things, the division. Yeah. Guess what? Your legacy starts to be made Sunday night at 8 o'clock at Gillette Stadium. They'll start labeling you because Justin Herbert, already kind of a playoff loser. Great talent. Doesn't win in the playoffs, right?
Well, he's had so far to date in the playoffs, he's had a massive lead, which he blew. And then last year, the Texans were like, oh, don't worry about the massive lead part. Or 2 years ago, we'll just blow your doors off for you.
And then Josh Allen, as Susan notes, even his fans have to admit, well, he's won nothing. He hasn't been to the Super Bowl, never mind won a Super Bowl. So your legacy, a Dan Marino-like legacy, whatever you want, you win the Super Bowl, you go on a playoff run, you have impressive playoff performances, it inflates your legacy, your Q rating. You know, he'll be doing more of those ads talking about baking ginger snaps. But if you lose, people will start to question, oh, what happened? Oh, fraud word, all of those things. So we're going to get into that later in the show. What is on the line for Drake May and your New England Patriots Sunday night against the Chargers at Gillette Stadium? But I want to lead off with this MVP discussion because the votes are in. We don't have them. We won't have them until the honors Super Bowl week out in Santa Clara. But the votes are in. And
wasn't it just for the audience's benefit, because I think we're in a particular time of the year and in a region that cares, where people want to know exactly how the sausage is made, how the process works. Isn't it there are 50 voters and their votes had to be submitted after Sunday Night Football, Steelers, Ravens on
yes,
Sunday?
Yes, sir, because it is indeed, in case you didn't know this, a regular season award. It isn't given out until Super Bowl week, but it is regular season only. What you did in the 17 games that your team played during the regular season is what matters for the MVP award. 50 voters have submitted their votes, and a slight change over the last, I don't know exactly, few years. It used to be the voters had one vote. Well, other than Peter King, who once put a half a vote in for two different guys. But voters have one vote back in the past.
Hey, Dale, how are you?
Now you have more of a tiered system where you vote 1 to 5. So there's points that are given out. It's a lot like a lot of the other awards, a lot of the other sports, where you can do May 1, Stafford 2, McCaffrey 3, whatever you want. And those guys all will get points.
Yeah, and I think the way that scoring goes is if you get a first-place vote, that's 5 points. If you get a fifth-place vote, you get 1 point.
Generally, that's how it works, and it works that way for the Heisman and most votes. So they fixed it. They made it better, in my opinion. But it's interesting because the sort of presumption this week, the books made Matthew Stafford the heavy favorite, and wusses like me with no faith may have cashed out that Drake May didn't put up enough stats in the finale, and Matthew Stafford threw 4 touchdowns, and he's got 46, and Tom Brady is lauding him for his career achievements on TV. It felt like it was, as the smart people say, fait accompli, that Matthew Stafford was going to be the MVP of the National Football League for this season. But then I'm driving in, and I hear Tommy Curran on with Jones and Keefe, and Tommy Curran, a former voter, gave up his vote this year, but a former MVP voter, a guy that has a lot of national ties, voted for all pro in the past and all these things, rubs elbows with all these people. Tom Curran was asked who will win the MVP award, and his answer is interesting.
I think May will win. I gave up my vote this year, I think I told you guys, because I wasn't doing the all-pro stuff, and I just got in the weeds on it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. They're weighted votes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you vote for 5 different individuals. I would imagine that May is going to be 1 or 2 on every single ballot of the 50. There might be people who would drop Stafford lower. Somebody wants to look at an outstanding season and says, you know what? Nobody played better than Myles Garrett in the entire league. I want to put him up at 2, you know, some crap like that. So I think that May will win because I think that May will be 1 or 2 on every single ballot. And I think that, at least in my estimation, and I can't speak for all 50, the great majority of us doing the voting, and the voting concluded yesterday, we spend a lot of time on the stuff, so you don't, especially now that the votes are public, you don't want to look stupid. So you better have your logic airtight. And the fact that Bill Barnwell, for instance, or Mike Sando, or various analytics sites are pointing out to the voters who do their research, May has really been better.
That end part is, I think, Fitzy, the most important part, because we talk about these things, narratives and like public pressure, and it's almost like they snowball, right? Groupthink. Mm-hmm. Once everybody goes, Stafford's going to win it, everybody's like, oh, Stafford's going to win it, I'm going to vote for Stafford. It's like that groupthink mentality, except there's a change there with the quants, the analytics, Mrs. Barnwell's basement, where Bill is doing his work and showing you all the numbers why Drake May is supposed to be the MVP. And Dan Ball, this happened in baseball, and you might know the year when it stopped being about wins and ERA and some of the traditional counting numbers and stats, and it started being about WAR and things like, and you started seeing Cy EPA. Young Award winners. Yeah, and the Cy Young Award winner was suddenly like, oh, why did he only have 9 wins? Why did he only have 11 wins? Or what, I thought you had to win 20 games to be a Cy Young Award winner. Dan Ball, it went that way in Cy Young for baseball. Feels like it might be going that way in MVP.
Yeah, it was mid-2010s, I think, when Jacob deGrom won the Cy Young in the National League despite having a record. I think it was at 500 or a game below. And again, he had a low 2 or high 1, low 2 ERA. Mm-hmm. So he earned it with some of the other quant stats that you cite so often. But yeah, there's been a shift within the last, call it 15 years worth of baseball, where all of a sudden now the value of WAR, wins above replacement, has much more of a value than just the wins and losses that you have on the field.
So, Fitzy, I wonder, do we now have more value in Mina Kimes' numbers and Bill Barnwell's numbers?
Oh, how convenient now, huh? No, now we're Mina Kimes fans. We love Bill Barnwell's basement, huh?
I am wondering because it felt like for so long it was just a verbal narrative that spread, and the thinking heads, the voters, would talk a little bit, and then some guys like Tom Brady would talk, and all of a sudden everybody would just be like, oh yeah, obviously Stafford's the MVP. Now it feels like maybe it's going the other way, and the numbers and the analytics and some of those things. Although I will also say, a lot of the traditional reasons to vote for MVP are on the side of Drake May. I don't know, better record, better seed, like some of those traditional.
Worst team, better turnaround.
Yes. That's the thing. The old school arguments are with Drake May, but are the new ones more important?
You know, Andy, this is almost like, I guess we could call this the money ballification of the MVP or Cy Young Award, right? Where, like Dan was saying, the new school analytics are factoring into the equation and convincing people to vote for the people that did not just the most overt things like touchdown passes or strikeouts or ERA, that therein lies more value. I just don't see how people can push past what Drake May did with what he had surrounding him and from whence he came versus Matt Stafford, who was two plays away from going to the Super Bowl, basically, last year in the NFC on a team coached by inarguably one of the top five coaches of the last decade in the NFL. Drake's doing this, by the way, new coordinator, his fourth in a row, by the way. He said four different coordinators in 4 years. New head coach, basically new everything. New center, new receivers, all of it.
And I think some people, even Brady kind of alluded to McDaniel's value to May. Well, what about McVay's value to Stafford? Like, I feel like that's same. They both are paired up with really good play callers and offensive minds. The talent differential to me is inarguable. When you have Puka Nacua and Davante Adams combining for whatever they have, 24 touchdowns between them and
2,600 yards receiving.
Like, they have that number one type option, and they just happen to have two of them. Whereas the Patriots, we talk ourselves into Steph Diggs being a number one option coming off an ACL at his age and all those things. And I know the whole, like, oh, a soft schedule, but then you look at the common opponents and not only the record against common opponents, but the statistics put up by Drake May in those games against common opponents, and then the deeper dive of the defenses they've faced. Forget about the overall records and all mm-hmm. that, but the defenses mm-hmm. and what Drake May has done. And you know I don't necessarily dive into all the EPAs and DVOAs and all those things, but when you read them from guys like Barnwell and others, and they present it to you, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Drake May is the MVP. So, Fitzy, we all know that everybody in this town believes Drake May should be the MVP. All of
us. If you don't pack your bags, move out and make sure you get a small enough truck to fit under the bridges on Storrow.
And Andrew will buy you a coffee and he'll ride shotgun because he'll root for that other team you pick with you because he's a fake fan just like
Andrew
you.
Andrew and Warwick. Boy, yes. He took a beating on the socials yesterday.
He did, and he's going to continue to take a beating. It was not a good look for him. But who will win the MVP, Fitzy? Is Karin right? Are we going to be stunned when we get to this honors presentation and Bill Belichick's there with Jordan sitting front row with that dress that looks like the Lombardi? Are we going to be stunned? Are they going to announce that Drake May is the MVP?
Man, I heard just about an hour ago that the betting odds were Stafford minus 180 on DK and Drake was plus 150. But I feel like now when you hear the current factor, which may not have been taken into account, we could have the best picture goes to La La Land. Oh, no, wait a second. It goes to Moonlight, as in, like, oh, everyone thinks it's Stafford. No, it's Drake May. That aggregate score, if Curran is right that he's going to get nothing but ones and twos, he's got a really good chance of pulling off the upset. I say...
Is that a yes?
I say Drake May gets it.
Drake May. The Homer Fitzy says Drake May is going to win the MVP award.
Okay, Andy, your turn.
I don't think he's going to win it. Oh. I still think it's going to be Stafford. I still think there's enough olders.
Okay, your turn.
Yeah, I think there's olds in that room voting. They're not all Mina Kimes and the modern quants and look at the numbers. And I think that it's going to be interesting. And I'm not smart enough. This is a Dan Ball type thing to do to analyze the numbers that Karin's talking about. Like, how many times can Stafford be rated third before he loses it? Like, you know, like those extra votes, those people that think they're smarter than everybody and don't vote for either quarterback for number one and how those numbers. Because, Fitzy, I sat down and did this, and I didn't ask you to. I don't want to put you on the spot here.
No,
but
okay.
I sat down. After listening to Karin, I sat down and did my own little ballot. And my ballot would look as such. These would be my five selections for MVP if I had a vote. Drake May, number one. And as Tom Curran predicted, Matthew Stafford is not number two on my list. That would be Joshua Allen, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh,
using,
wow.
I continue to value for the MVP award the more with less. And I think Josh Allen does more with less often in Buffalo.
You mean he doesn't have a Puka Nacua or Davante Adams on his team? Oh, wait, no. He's got the bones of Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir.
How do you like to say it, Dan Ball, about Josh Allen in Buffalo? If who's not on the field, what does he do?
Trust no one, play hero ball, play stupid. I can't remember what I said.
Yeah, it's all of those basic things. That's what he does. So I have Josh Allen number two. I have Matthew Stafford number three. Then I have Jackson Smith and Jigba number four. And I have Christian McCaffrey number five. Because not going to lie to you, I don't know if it's that East Coast, West Coast bias, but when I was doing the research for this and looked at the numbers, holy crap, has McCaffrey had a good year. Dude caught 100 balls and rushed for 1,200 yards for the 49. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's
almost
a great
pulled
year.
Off a Roger Craig, and he did that while, mind you, he had Mac Jones for 8 of the 17 starts.
Yeah.
And Purdy only started 9 games, Mac Jones 8 games. They finished 12-5. Sure, it was a downer of a season at the end when they lose to Seattle and cough up the number 1 seed and the first round bye, but like that guy kept that team on his shoulders this season. And by the way, Andy, in an age and an era where the average NFL player lifespan is 3.5 years and a running back's prime is about 5, maybe 6 years tops, McCaffrey's been doing this at this level for almost a decade.
Well, yeah, and he's a weird one in that he's a running back with a lot of wear on the tires, and yet he was more injury prone earlier in his career. I don't know enough about him, but it seems like he got himself a Alex Guerrero, something body guy, because he used to have like hamstring issues and different things that would derail him.
I'd be surprised if there's like instead of a TB12, a CMC22 out
there. Yep, and it's working because he's had a great year. But those are my MVP thoughts. 617-779-7937. We'll dabble in the MVP talk throughout the rest of the program because I think it's a hot topic right now. The votes are in. Is Drake May actually going to win? Curran and Fitzy say yes. I say unfortunately no. At 2:30 up next, we will talk to Mark Schlereth, our weekly Tuesday chat with Schlereth. Stink is in an interesting position. Big Drake May and Patriots fan, but also in Denver, played for the Broncos. Broncos are the number one seed, so we'll get his thoughts on the playoff picture, the Patriots, the MVP, and everything else. And then at 3:30, we'll talk to Brian Hoyer. We had to bump him up an hour from his new usual spot talking about the MVP and Drake May. So Mark Schlereth and all that up next with your phone call, 617-779-7937. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?